Today's gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew. The scripture has often been looked at as a separation of who will get into heaven and who will not get into heaven. And that's how we viewed this, making sure that we do the right things to get us into the right places. But I wonder if we could hear something a little bit different this morning. So I'm going to invite you to rise in body or in spirit for the reading of our gospel, which comes to us from Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. Actually, I'm going to start at 40, end at 40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. And then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." The gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Before it is too late, a prayer poem. I do not know exactly what lies ahead, how far we will have to travel on the road of unrest. I cannot foretell the number of bombs that will have to explode or the lives that will have to be lost before we understand that we cannot kill each other into the future that we have imagined. You cannot hate enough to make yourself happy. You cannot destroy enough to make yourself secure. You cannot oppress enough to make yourself feel superior. You cannot commit enough evil to make yourself holy. I do not know exactly what lies ahead or how far we have to travel on the road of unrest. I cannot tell how many rights will have to be taken away or how much progress will have to be reversed before we understand that we cannot persecute each other into the future we think we have imagined. We cannot neglect each other enough to feel worthy. We cannot starve each other enough to feel full. We cannot silence each other enough to be heard. We cannot fragment each other enough to feel whole. Before we understand that we cannot, I do not know exactly what lies ahead or how far we will have to travel on the road of unrest. I cannot tell how many bodies will have to float on the sea of greed and vain glory before. before we understand that we cannot bully our way into a future that we think we have imagined. We cannot bury each other deep enough to feel alive. We cannot abuse each other enough to feel loved. We cannot infect each other enough to feel well. We cannot enslave each other enough to feel free. Before it is too late, we understand that the call is coming from inside the house. Before it is too late, may we comprehend that the stench, the rot, the brokenness, the emptiness, the insecurity, the woundedness, the disease is from within and not from without. Erasing you will not heal me. May we understand before it is too late. God, help us to understand before it is too late. In 2004, journalist Bill Bishop coined the term the big sort. I don't know if any of you heard this before. But armed with a startling new demographic data, he made national news in a series of articles showing how Americans have been sorting themselves into alarmingly homogeneous communities, not by region or state, but by city and even neighborhood. Over the past three decades, we've been choosing the neighborhood and the church and the news shows compatible with our lifestyle and our beliefs. The people, the result is a country that's become so polarized, so ideologically inbred that people don't know and can't understand those who live only a few miles down the road. In 2008, in his book, The Big Sort, Why the Clustering of Like-Minded America is Tearing Us Apart, Bishop discusses the very real challenge of living in such like-minded communities. He says that when we exist in such homogeneous communities, it is as if we live in a giant feedback loop. We keep hearing our own thoughts about what's right and what's wrong bounced back to us by television shows that we watch, by the newspapers and the books that we read, by the blogs that we visit online, by the sermons that we hear, and the neighborhoods that we live in. And so when we come and see how separate our world is or our country is, we're shocked. How is it that people don't think just like me? One of the amazing blessings of this faith community is that we are culturally and racially diverse. And that is so beautiful. We come from so many different countries. In a couple weeks, the flags are going to be coming back up. Yes, I know, get some nods. They will be coming back up in line with a wonderful conversation that we're going to be having on March 18th. So I want to invite you to come and be a part of that service. It will be a blessing to all of us. But that is a gift. This church has a long, long history of being a welcoming community. This is why you celebrate African Thanksgiving. It is a way to say, thank you. We are thankful that this church is a welcoming community. But as a people of faith, we should always be asking, who is missing from our community? Which voices do we not hear? Is there really room for all, or is there just room for those that make me feel most comfortable? In our passage this morning from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus does a little sorting himself. He is telling a parable about what will happen in the end times on the day of judgment, and Jesus talks about goats and sheep. Now, the sheep get it right, and the goats, well, not so much. And here's the reason. You see, sheep follow. If you know anything about sheep, you know that sheep follow. They're not the brightest bunch. But they will, because they have to trust their leader, their shepherd, they will follow. Goats are stubborn. Goats want to go their own way. Goats want to find their own paths. And if you get in the way of the goat, well, you better watch out. So the question is, how do we get on the sheep team? That's where we want to be, right? We want to be on the sheep team. I don't want to be on the goat team. I want to be on the sheep team. So how do we get picked for sheep duty? Well, the good news is that Jesus gives it to us in detail in today's passage. Jesus says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." The sheep team follows the shepherd by doing the things that the shepherd has done. The sheep follow the model that the shepherd has given them. Jesus is telling this parable at the very end of his ministry. Soon he's going to leave them, and just as John in the book, in the Gospel, John, he puts the foot washing and he says, "Now do this. I've shown you this because you are to go and wash one another's feet." Well, Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew is saying, "Listen, I'm not going to be with you much longer. And these are the things that you need to do." And he needs his followers to understand that following means more than just following the crowds. It wasn't just about following the crowds. It wasn't just about sitting on the hillside and hearing the messages of Jesus. But they have to go and live out that model. Feed those who are hungry, not just literally, but spiritually hungry. Offer water, but not only water, but living water, to those who are thirsting for a deeper walk with God. Welcome the stranger just as they are, not as you want them to be. Clothe the naked and surround them with the warmth of God's love. When I have the blessing to give out clothing, sometimes people come and this winter they've been cold. When I have the chance to not only give a scarf to somebody, but to wrap the scarf around them and remind them that they are loved, that is what Jesus is calling us to do, to not only offer things, but offer God's love and God's promise. To care for those who are sick, not just physically, but spiritually and mentally. And to visit those that are not only locked up, but those that are locked away in prisons of their own making. This was the ministry of Jesus. This was the way of the shepherd. But it wasn't a way to get to heaven. And that's kind of what we've done with this scripture. We've turned it into, these are the steps to get to heaven. But that's not what Jesus was saying. If I do all these things, if I check all the boxes, then when I get to the pearly gates, God's going to say, "Good job, you got them all checked." And so maybe, yeah, we begin to think to ourselves, okay, if I'm going to get to heaven, I better sign up to serve some meals at Elijah's Promise. And next year I'll make sure that I sign up to stay overnight for the men's shelter. And if I serve enough times, then maybe I'm certain to find my way into heaven. But this isn't what Jesus was trying to tell his disciples. This is not a checklist of good deeds to fill out. Jesus is talking about a way of living. And it's not one that's motivated from a fear of hell or a hope of heaven. If that's the only reason we do things, because we're afraid of going to hell or we hope of going to heaven, we're missing the point. Amen. You see, Jesus is talking about a life that is driven by authentic love. It's a way of living that recognizes that Christianity isn't about us. It's not about self-preservation. It's not about feeling good about what we've done or getting the front row seats in heaven. When we view our faith through the lens of who's getting into heaven and who isn't, we miss the point. The kingdom of heaven is something that we participate in right here and right now. And I know that most of the time this doesn't feel like the kingdom of heaven. But I tell you, we get glimpses. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is here, and not yet. But there are moments when we see the beauty of the kingdom of heaven. It's not yet fulfilled. But each day we are given the model to follow, the model that Jesus gave us. And the questions we ultimately need to answer someday is, do you love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul? And have you loved your neighbor as you love yourself? Those are the only questions that need to be asked. Do you love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul? And have you loved your neighbor as yourself? But in order to do this, we may have to see others differently. How do I love the person whose political ideology is in direct opposition to mine? How can I welcome the person whose lifestyle choices make me feel uncomfortable? Am I able to sit down and share in a meal with somebody who refuses to embrace who I am? Can I do that? You see, the kingdom of heaven is not a homogeneous community that is created in our own image. The kingdom of heaven is like Isaiah's vision of the peaceable kingdom, where the wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. So what does this look like for us today? Several years ago, Mark Miller wrote a song entitled, I Dream of a Church. And the words express a vision of God's kingdom, a place of deep love and acceptance, even in the midst of our differences. You see, when we come to this space, and I think I shared this a couple weeks ago, that every time in confirmation, we light the candle. And the candle reminds us that our unity is in Christ alone. There are going to be things that we don't agree on, and that's okay. We're going to come from different places. We're going to see the world in different ways. But our unity is in Christ alone. And so what if we could be that church? What if we could be the church where everyone is welcome? A place where everyone can say that this is home. What if our world can be a world where all were looking to work towards justice? A time when everyone is fulfilled and whole. Where hope and peace can grow and where God's will is done. These are the lyrics to a song, but the song goes like this. I dream of a church where everyone is welcome. I dream of a place we all can call home. I dream of a world where justice is flowing with hope and peace growing and God's will is done. Make it so. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to invite you, we've been doing this the last couple weeks as we focus on the theme of justice, but it's also Lent, so it's a time of giving things up. So I'm going to ask you to take a minute to take your hands and put them in your laps in a fist. And I invite you to make that fist as tight as you can. Lent has become a time of giving up something as a sign of penitence in the Middle Ages. And this season, we're going to contemplate what we need to give up in order to let justice roll down, to let justice prevail in our lives and in our church and in our world. And so I invite you to contemplate that the more we keep our hands tightly clenched, the less ability we have to connect with others as one body. The more we keep our hands tightly clenched, the less ability we have to connect with others as one body. Now slowly open your hands, letting go of the tension there, and imagine that cool water is flowing into and over them. Let us pray. We come before you, Holy Trinity of Love, knowing that we sometimes act as if we need no one, unable to give of ourselves and reach out to others. And yet you call us to break down the walls that divide us just as Jesus did. Forgive us and open us to your refreshing water of life. Help us to create a place in this world that is sanctuary, a refuge from division, not adding to it. Help us to foster the growth of hope and peace and move closer to compassion and courage, to speak up and to stand up for what is right and what is good. We ask all of this in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.